Hey Mummy, it's Pickle, what are you doing? Well Pickle, I'm having to record a new advert for the Bailey and Harding ultrasound system because people started taking the piss out of the way that I said the word apparel. That's really mean, Mummy. I know, darling, but you know what people are like. Lots of people are absolute bellends, so I'm having to do it again. So what's the advert for then, Mummy? Tell me. Well, darling, it's for shoes. So it's for the Trailfly trail running shoe. What are they like though, Mummy? Well, they've got 4mm rubber studs and are perfect for gripping dry rock and hard-packed dry ground. And the graphite grip rubber outsole has been improved from the previous models. Do you remember when I had a green pair? It's been improved from that. Those shoes are so good, aren't they, Mum? You seem to wear them every day. I do wear them every day, Pickle. They're my day-to-day go-to shoe, and I love them. But how would they go about winning a pair? Well, you need to go to our Instagram page on your Pi phone. Head to Ultra Sound System Pod, click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you that you're a winner. But because you're a dog, you're going to need to win two pairs because you've got four paws. Yeah, well, you know me, Mummy. I can always get away with two and just do handstands all around the place. Thanks for that, Pickle. If you can't wait to see if you're a winner, then you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit when you purchase it from the website with the code that you can also find in our link tree. That's so great, Mummy. That sounds like a great thing to win anyway. I might get sponsored by Innovate. You're sponsored by Nonstop, darling. Should we go for a run? Okay, Mummy, let's go. On with the pod, which contains lots of swearing and some very immature adult themes. Welcome to the Bailey and Hall Ultrasound System. My name's Ali Bailey.
My name's Damien.
Right.
To make you more like enthusiasm, more.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My name's Damien.
Damien what?
Hall.
Damien Hall. That's correct. Have you got a middle name? What is it?
What's yours?
Mine, Hannah. What's yours?
Alexander.
Alexander.
Good, isn't it?
Very posh, isn't it?
That's not posh. Why is that posh?
Sounds just posh. It's quite posh.
I don't think it is. Let's get any Alexanders listening who aren't posh. Message.
Please message him with proof of your working class roots. Thank you so much. Right, everyone. Anna's gone on maternity leave. She's not gone forever. And Damien's here. And we're going to try and be as professional as possible, really not just use this as a vehicle to be horrible to each other. And
but then, that's a nice, it's nice to get that out of the way, but there was judgment in your voice when you said Damien's here. Everyone could hear that.
Was like, there?
Damien's here. Yes, it was quite clear.
I think it's you putting that judgment into my voice, not me.
Again, if anyone listening called Alexander would like to message in and clarify.
Okay, host. First things first, welcome. I hope you're comfortable. Your little shed. Is that a shed at the bottom of your garden?
Shoffice. Yeah, very comfortable. Thank you. Got my tea.
Shoffice?
Shoffice.
What's that? Is that a shop office?
Shed. Shed office, as popularised by David Cameron, amongst many of the great things he did for this country.
Oh, wow. Did David Cameron have a shed office?
I'll send you a picture afterwards. There's a famous picture, famous for anyone who has a shoffice, of him posing outside. He was a pioneer of shoffices.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of you have them. I was at Holly Rush's house yesterday, Holly Rush Stables. She's got a shoffice.
Has she?
Mm. It's nice. Gosh. And it's got the same flags as you. You've all got the fucking Nepalese, I've been to Everest but haven't flags, haven't you? The prayer.
Has she got an Extinction Rebellion and a Just Stop Oil flag in hers?
No, is that a master trophy?
Several. Oh,
that's the bloody thing, isn't it? That's the relay baton.
No, it's a trophy I won.
Is it? Did you win a trophy for running?
I won a trophy for being fourth place one time, which you mocked on, as with all my achievements, you mocked on the socials.
Oh, were you fourth? What were you fourth place in? Was it Dad's at parkrun?
Tour de Géant. Fourth place is a trophy.
Shit.
Fourth place is a trophy.
Oh, that's amazing. Where are your other trophies?
Are you really? There's a second place at the Spine, which again you've mentioned. Actually, ironically, the really big one. So there's a UTMB one. I didn't win it. They're all things I didn't win. Yeah, there's a Spine.
You must
Spine,
have. You must UTMB. Have loads of trophies and medals.
No, not really.
What do you do with them? Do you not take them, or do you recycle them, or do you put them in, use them as doorstops?
I don't really win much. I'm just like second or third all the time.
Yeah, but you've been running for ages.
That's the way of saying my I'm old. And so yes, the big one behind you, the biggest one, ironically enough, is for veteran. Here we go. Wiltshire, veteran athlete of the year. But it's the big one.
Brilliant.
It looks good. It looks good. And the little ones are
Brilliant.
more important. Oh, Stroud District Cross Country Champion 1993.
Stroud Park Run Champion 1993. See, it doesn't make sense to me. I think you've got a room in your house that's like the Partridge Room, and there's just pictures of your own face everywhere, and it's full of trophies.
You're the one in a travel lodge.
I'm not in a travel lodge, I'm in a village hotel. It's very
Well, is
different.
that any different? Is
No, it's very different. And people who know. I've got access to a
it?
gym and a steam room here, okay? I'm a professional, semi-professional
What's
celebrity
your book called
athlete.
again? Is it Bouncing Back?
Bouncing back, yes.
Bouncing Back. Yeah.
So after this tour, I'm actually going to become a crackhead, and I'm going to go back to the booze. I'm going to spend 6 months in the wilderness, then I'm going to bounce back for tour number
Oh,
two.
okay. Yeah. Bounce back, bounce. Yeah.
And I might call
Look
it
forward to that.
Tour de Brilliance, like a sort of play on words of Tour de Géant.
That's so good.
Yeah, I
That's
know.
so good. And you are no doubt struggling for a second book,
I
the difficult
am.
second book. So yeah, it's all sorted now if you
It's
just
not as
bounce
bad
back
as
and then
your
bounce back.
it's not as bad as your struggling second book, though, is it?
Well,
Which I believe is
the difference
still
is I have a
struggling.
second book. I have a second book.
It's still struggling.
It is
Okay, so
struggling, but I've got a second book.
what I did was I thought not everybody knows who Damien is, hardly anyone does. So let's have a look at some questions, a getting to know you section quickly. Just a little getting to know you section. So I Googled getting to know you questions in Google. Other search
Oh
engines are
gosh.
available. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you just to answer the first thing that comes out of your brain. Okay. Ready? Number
No.
one, what's your favorite way to spend a weekend?
Running?
Perfect. Do you enjoy what you do for a living?
Yes.
Sounds like I've arrested you, doesn't it? And you don't have a lawyer
These are
present.
good. These are good.
What do you do for a living?
Coach, tell people to go for runs and then give them an emoji afterwards.
Yep. What else?
That's about it.
I think he writes for two bit magazines too. What? Oh God, this is ridiculous. What's a book that you'd recommend?
Oh. Well. What to say? What book to recommend? The Bible.
Bible. Have you actually read the Bible?
No, it's shit.
No, me neither. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a morning person. In fact, yeah, I don't normally go do podcasts before a run. So this feels, yeah, I'm not quite. I like to get up, go for my run, then do stuff.
It's like
So
you do
I'm not,
loads
I
of
don't mean to lay down the.
podcasts. It's like you're podcasting every day, like some sort of podcast entrepreneur.
Just trying to keep up with you.
True.
Yeah, morning, morning.
Okay, don't worry, there's only four more of these. What's your dream job?
I'd love to have a book tour.
Would you? You fucking wouldn't, believe me. And do you have any pets? Oh God.
Well, Ali, yes, I have two wonderful cats.
Do you? Are there two of them? Just make a note of
Yeah.
that for my operative. There's actually two of them to dispose of. What's your favorite type of cuisine? That's French for food, by the way.
You going to do your vegan joke again?
ATS.
Okay, good.
I've actually got a feature idea for you on that, but there you go. Go on.
Ooh. Nut butter on toast
Oh, well. What sort of
with
nut
banana.
butter?
Oh, crunchy cashew. Yeah. I
Don't
don't
you
know what.
just don't they just claggy and gross?
Yeah. just, I like I quite like Indian cuisine.
What can you have Indian that is vegan?
I always get this sort of mushroomy thing, spicy mushroomy thing.
Oh, this is fascinating content for people.
This
And
you're
then
the
the last,
professional here.
I
Your
know I am.
questions.
These are my
You
questions.
said
And
you were
then
better at this than me.
last but not least, there's two from me. If you were one of the Teenage Mutant Hero slash Ninja Turtles, which one would you be and why?
Because orange is an underrated color.
Michelangelo. Did you just say?
No, oh, whoops.
Yeah, that is
There's one
Michelangelo.
of
He's
them's
the
called
orange
something
one.
like that. Yeah.
Michelangelo is the orange one, but he was also the really funny one.
Well, yes, fits suiting,
I
right?
think he should be
Fittingly.
more of a Donatello, personally. Right. And when in the 90s, when you had posters on your wall, who was on the posters on your wall that were not footballers?
Louise Wiener. Brett Anderson.
Did you hear what Anna said about Persuade on the podcast the other day?
She said they're boring or something.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
I still
Idiot.
had the matted pubes thing in my mind a lot, so I didn't concentrate so much on.
I forgot about that. And my last question, have you ever had matted pubes?
Probably.
Oh, lovely. There you go, everybody. We've got to know Uncle Damo. Damien is going to help us with some questions later, but for now, I think we're going to talk about these features that we've been discussing for quite some time, haven't we? What have you been doing this week, by the way? Just give me your news from this week. What have you been up to?
Hold on, I need to clarify. Was that revenge for when I did similar to you on for your book launch?
To be fair, that was just lazy journalism. Like, you obviously panicked on the train and thought, I'll do a, do you like this more than this? And I just was a bit blown away by the whole thing. I couldn't believe it was happening. So I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know all the answers to these questions. What are you doing? And also,
Was
could I
fun,
just
wasn't it?
say that you made a massive error that night, like one that
Oh,
I was really quite concerned about.
okay.
Somebody,
Coming, turning up.
yeah, turning up. There was people, there was, we said, does anybody got any questions? And someone put their hand up and you handed them the mic and let go of the mic. You never let
Oh.
go of the mic.
Right.
If you let go of the mic, you have harmless fans of the sport literally telling you their fucking life story, and you can't get the mic back off them. So you need to keep hold of the mic just for
No
future
one wants to
reasons.
hear long life stories from runners, do they, Ali?
No. Once at the
No.
National Running Show, I had a woman come up to me and she said, "Hello, Ali. I think you're amazing." Like, that happens all the time, usually in a supermarket.
Sure it does, yeah.
And my friend Julius was stood next to me and she started to talk to me and she started to show me photos on her phone. And she was telling me about this race she'd done in Spain and showing me all the photos on her phone. And she was stood there doing this to me for 56 minutes. And I couldn't get rid of her. And I
Wow,
needed a wee and she wouldn't leave me
that
alone. And Julius was laughing and he didn't intervene. And so from that day forth, I've had to have a spotter. And I'm like, if I make this movement with my hand, you need to come and take me away from the situation.
Oh, that's good. And I just want to fist bump Julius for not interrupting. That's brilliant. Yeah, I'm terrible at getting out those scenarios. I mean, it doesn't happen to me nearly as much as it happens to you, of course.
Obviously.
Obviously, now that you're world famous, but yeah, how do you? Okay, you need someone with you to a special signal. All right.
Do you not get it a lot with the climate stuff that people come up to you and start talking to you about that? I mean, that's probably something you quite enjoy, right?
No. Yes. No, people are very nice, mostly. Yeah, the mean people are on the interweb more
That's
so.
a
Yes, I always
question
get a
I've
bit.
got actually. But that might be for
Oh,
later. That might be for
all right.
later. It's a big question. Anyway, I want to know what you've been up to this week because you've got some.
Oh,
We're not doing Wingrim Grim Get in the Bin, but you have been doing some really good, fun, cool stuff this week. Cooler
I've
than
had
that.
an amazing weekend, Ali. I had a lumpy, wild, brutal bimble
Ugh.
in, I'm going to say this wrong, Ariru.
Ariri.
That's what I said.
You sounded like the bloke. You sounded like the guy from Shooting Stars. Uvavu. Iranu? Iriri.
The bloke from Shooting Stars. I am fondling my quads in a similar manner to Vic Reeves. Yeah, I had a brilliant time. I was with my buddy AJ Hansbaugh, who is an amazing athlete, and he just broke the double Paddy Buckley round record, which is quite something. He's only the second person to ever do it.
What can you, what pray tell is the Paddy Buckley for those who not in the know?
So it's one of the three major fell running rounds, the big three, which are the Bob Graham, the Charlie Ramsay in Scotland, and the Welsh one is the Paddy Buckley round. They're all about 100K and all have at least 40. Oh, I forgot what the Ramsay is, but it's a big amount of summits. I think 47 on the Paddy. And yeah, there were records for doing them. And then there were records, well, very, very few people have decided doing one isn't enough, and that going around and doing a double, and Nikki Spinks had the record for doing all three doubles on all three, and
What, in a year or something? Did she do it in time span?
she did one each year, but she has a record for doubling them all. And AJ, yeah, went and broke her Paddy Buckley record at the weekend, and it was one hell of a year. So he, yeah, 53 hours, so that's quite a bit of time on feet.
So when you do a round, right? I'm not really into rounds. I'm just not. I think it's because I'm very frightened of them, so I've blocked it out. You have to do the round in under 24 hours. Is that the rule? To get the round, to get like a special little badge.
Yes and no. So they're all slightly different. So on the Bob Graham and the Charlie Ramsay, yes. On the Paddy Buckley, technically, no, you don't have to do it in 24 hours, but most people would probably aim to. But you could register a completion for more time than that.
Could you? What, so like
Yeah.
if I went and did it at a nice leisurely pace, took a picnic and took me 60 hours, I could still say I've done it.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested. Now she's interested.
Yeah. So, and then he did the first one in 22 and a half hours, but naturally, as you'd expect, slowed a bit because it got a bit more uncomfortable. But it was incredible, absolutely incredible. His iron, kind of iron will to persist despite, feet problems and obviously muscle soreness and so on, and weather and what happens. Yeah, all sorts of sort of behind the scenes dramas of, pacers not getting there in time or having to drop out and things like that, and
What,
all these sort
Pacers having to drop out because he was too quick?
not quite. No, one of them, because we were a bit behind time, one of them realized they had to drop out early because they needed to get to work.
Oh,
So
yeah, that.
I had a phone call at 2 or 3 in the morning to come and collect him when I was asleep. And then someone else, Will Smith, the amazing Will Smith, not him, the other one.
Was pacing AJ on the Paddy Buckley
He
round?
was in the end. Yeah, he started off road crewing, did an
Yeah,
amazing job
wow.
at that, got out the disco ball at one point,
Was Willow Smith
provided.
there as well, whipping her hair back and forth?
I don't know who that is,
That's his daughter.
but
She's got an amazing
yes.
song called Whip My Hair Back and Forth. Gonna put it on the playlist. Will Smith was there. Who else was there? Kardashians.
Your buddy Mark Derbyshire was there.
I saw Mark Derbyshire's auntie the other day in the Bakewell store at Innovate.
You know his whole family.
She owns the bridal shop next door. She came to say hello. Yeah, I'm going there for Christmas.
You're pretty much part of the family there. That's nice. Sabrina Verchey was there. Yeah, he had quite the all-star cast. But what was amazing was how people gather around, I suppose, and chip in and do the so like oh, I wish I knew his surname, but Driver Dave was amazing. Thank you, Dave. He did lots of behind the scenes sort of journeys to get people to the right places and pick up chips. So in the middle of the mountains, we were brought chips, no ketchup, AJ specified, and no vinegar, disappointingly.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, I
Man's a
was a bit
monster.
if I'd known that beforehand, I would not have been there helping.
No, I don't think you should really reconsider that friendship. So
Yeah,
with this
but it
stuff,
was
especially like that
amazing.
one, how much planning goes into it? Because like it's not very road accessible, is it, that part of the old country of Wales?
It's not too bad. So it does split into five legs. The really challenging one is the Ramsay. That doesn't have much road access at all. But the Paddy does have five legs, like the Bob Graham, that are sort of interspersed with road sections. So it's not too bad in that respect. So each time he'd come down to the van, and that was his secret, actually. He was incredible at fueling, lots of porridge. He did have a pre-run tea, which I credit to, being the deciding factor. Lots of porridge, lots of liquid calories, lots of cheese sandwiches, lots of
Isn't he one
flapjacks.
of the your lot? Isn't he a vegan boy?
No, I think no, technically not fully. He's not fully in, but I don't remember many beef burgers. But he is a Green Runners co-founder. In fact, it was all his idea.
Yeah, I know, you told me that the other day, and I was like, now
Yeah.
it's coming out, isn't it?
Yeah. AJ's the man. So I hope he gets the credit he deserves because this is a phenomenal thing that he did.
What do you think about that credit he deserves thing? Do you think this is something that should be being covered in the mainstream media?
Well, because it could inspire people. I know you don't like people being inspired by big long runs and stuff,
I don't
but
like anyone being inspired by anyone except
I think it
me.
could save. I think. Ali, I think it could save people running. What do you think?
No. What I'm saying is, I think it's incredible. I don't really understand it. Do you know why he did it? Why did he want to do it? Just because he wanted to do it.
I think it's that natural thing to try and push yourself and see how far you can go. It's difficult to say it without sounding cliched, but I just think he wanted to test himself. And what I'm in awe of is, and again, you'll disapprove of this. He's had a, I hope he doesn't mind me saying he's had a mixed couple of years, really, like some bad fortune sometimes at races, but hasn't always completed races when he is a very talented athlete, and we're going to see that more and more. But yeah, he's had a mixed couple of years, so to attempt something this ambitious took real courage, and he pulled it off. So yeah,
inspo. Well done, AJ. I'll send you a Spalding Harding ultrasound system certificate that says I did a good one. I just made that up. Also, didn't you have someone do something stupid in Scotland the other day? One of your athletes.
Oh, yeah. Tom Rainey set a record on the Cape Wrath Trail, which, for those who know anything about, is incredibly rugged. And it's, yeah, long. And, yeah, required... don't know how much I should say, but he got...
Was he on his own?
No, he was supported. He was supported by a group of friends. But it was very close. It was very close. And there was some logistical misunderstandings towards the end where he had to... well, firstly, he was in great discomfort. I won't go into the details. They are quite intimate areas.
Yes, amazing. He doesn't mind. We're on the sound system. Right. So what happened? Was there lack of lube in the ball sack area? Was there blood? I love this shit.
I believe, but I shouldn't go any further than that.
I'm going to interview him. Don't worry. I'll get him on here. Give me his deets.
You should get him on here. He's amazing. He's one of those just bouncing balls of energy and fun.
Well, I didn't have bouncing balls of energy on this race.
Oh, gosh. Whoops.
Yeah, great balls of fire.
They bounced a bit. Oh, dear.
He's going to love me interviewing him.
There is such a thing as, client confidentiality, which I've just totally broken.
No, there isn't.
No. Well, Tom is absolutely amazing. It was like a two-year project. And yeah, great discomfort towards the end. And also, he had forgotten, I hope he doesn't mind me saying again, that he needed to get a boat across the lock back to Fort William to finish. And that wasn't arranged with a few hours to go. But luckily, he's into water sports, so
he's
to speak.
He's into water sports.
Stop it. And, oh gosh, I should never agree.
You said it, man.
To this thing.
Julius, don't cut this out.
Julius, help me, cut everything out.
Did he swim across the lock?
No. His friends, because they knew people in the local sort of water sports community. Stop it. they arranged a boat at very short notice at midnight and got him across, and he broke
water
the record.
Water sports at midnight in Scotland. I wouldn't be...
Everyone's into it.
I wouldn't be taking part in that. It would be filth. Well done.
So he broke
what's
the record too. Tom Rainey, or Thomas Rainey.
How old is he?
Young, can't remember exactly.
Has he ever done anything like that before?
Oh, yes, he's rode the Atlantic. He was the youngest person to ever rode the Atlantic. So he's quite, you know, he's a bit of a multi-sport athlete. But yeah, you may have heard of him from that. But that was years ago.
Have you got many athletes that have got rowing in their background? Do you know many ultra runners that used to be rowers?
Don't think so. Beth Pascal was.
Right. Rowers are a different level of athlete. They are just fucking mental. Like, they've got this, like, I'm going to kill everybody and let God sort it out mindset. Like, the people I know that have been rowers that are now ultra runners are incredible. And they just stop at nothing. Like, they're just incredible.
Right.
I don't know what they do when they train them, but they do something to them to make them magic. Honestly, they do.
I was unaware of the correlation, but now I'm going to start rowing. How was your weekend?
What did I do at the weekend? Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Wow.
Yeah. I went
Lumpy?
There's a round called the Edel Skyline Round. Not many people have done it. Hardly anyone, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a circle and it goes around the Edel Skyline. It's really, really... It's got like about 76 million verts. And yeah, like I say, not many people have completed it. So
any testicle chafing?
Lots, actually, for me. Pickle was there. She was leading the pack, obviously. She's our mountain leader. And I ran that with your publishers and ran with John Barton. We had a good chat about you. Kirsty. Yeah, your friend Kirsty. And Claire, who's written a book about Kinder Scout. She's written the guidebook on Kinder Scout. So I was like, this is a good idea because we won't get lost. We didn't get lost. And my dogs and my friend. It was great. We just had a little brutal bimble and it was wonderful. Thank you very much for asking. I'm in taper mode now for the spine challenger, spring, summer.
Did you say dogs?
Yeah. Baby P and Zorro, her brother from another mother.
Oh, okay.
I think you'd like
Oh,
Zorro.
yeah.
Zorro's got hair like yours.
Oh, we'd get on then. She or he
Right,
sound very cool.
I've got a question just quickly on this Cape Wrath thing before we go into our list of incredible features that we're going to exploit in the next few months. There was a BBC News article, right? And this is what it says. Grandad, 64, is oldest to complete 400-kilometre ultra race. Ready for this? A 64-year-old grandfather has become the oldest person to complete a 400-kilometre ultra race through the Highlands of Scotland, event organisers have said. Tim Robinson from Beaminster, Dorset, ran the 8-day Cape Wrath Ultra with his son, Will. The retired GP was one of only 57 athletes to cross the finish line on the 26th of May. Now, the interesting bit about this is Tim Robinson said he started running with his father at the age of 11. He admitted he'd completed marathons in the past, but said that the last of these was in Athens in 2003. He says, my training started 4 weeks before the event and included four long runs of 15 miles off-road. I bought new trainers 9 days before the event and took them on one long run. One of my fellow runners on the Cape Wrath Ultra said I'd torn up the rule book. What do you think about that?
Oh, he's done a David Brent, hasn't he? Got the rule. These are the rules. Wow.
Oh, there's a picture of me on the cover of Men's Health. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry, but I can't buy that. I just can't buy it. After our little Cape Wrath chat just now, I just can't buy it.
I mean, the problem is, Ali, it would put me and you out of business if everyone did, you know, if everyone did that, you know, they wouldn't need coaches telling them not to
do it.
You know, yeah. We can't endorse that at all.
But do you think that's possible? I don't think it's possible. I think that Cape Wrath is one of the most frightening places on earth. Like, having been there and not, I've not done the whole trail, I've done little bits and bobs of it. And that race is hard and all of it is just hard. And I just think that is such a shitty message to put out into the public domain. It fucks me off. It really fucks me off because I end up with athletes. You're a problem too, Damien, because you make things look easy. Every February, I get middle-aged men coming to me and being like, I think I've just been watching Spine and I think I might give it a go, actually, because, watching Damien, Jack, I thought, yeah, I could do that. And I'm like, did you? Did you think you could do that? Did you? Because you've been on BBC News looking like, yeah, well, whatever, looking all fresh with your son, who looks like he's just been in a car crash. Like, it fucks me off. I'm sorry, but it does. Do you have people come to you who think, actually, maybe you don't because you're Damien Hall, who think that it's easier than it is and then get annoyed when it's hard?
Yes, I think there's a case for that. I mean, I wonder how many. Yeah, we're towards the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I like a dreamer, you know. If someone comes and says, I've only done a half marathon, I want to do the Spine race, I will take them on and try and.
Yeah, I know, you take them on and then you coach them, right, and they do the work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not right. Like, you can do that in 2 months' time. It's like, let's make that a 25-year project.
Yes, thank you.
Or at least a 2-year project. Yeah.
Did you see what we did with the podcast pet? He was a half marathon runner and now he's a 100K runner. We did that in 9 months. But he did the fucking work. The thing I'm trying to say is that believe achieve mentality does my nut in. You can't, like, and that presenting like, oh, I didn't do any training, but I still finished Cape Wrath. That's why it's £2,000 of your money. Like, come on, man.
But he did manage to do it. So some individuals can do that, but it's probably
I think he trained. I tried to last night at 10:30. I started Bailey Investigates and I started trying to find his Garmin Connect and his Strava and I couldn't find him. Then I realised, well, what are you doing, Ali? You've got an episode of Love Triangle to watch. later on, when me and Kirsty sit in the hot seat, this will be something we will be investigating because I'm pretty sure that when I find him on Strava, he would have been cycling like 300 miles a week or cross training or skiing or fucking doing 86 strength sessions. He might have only run a little bit, but there will be something where he's like super fit, right?
Or a strong hiking background. Would be my suspicion.
Where
yes.
He's not saying it. Like, it's bullshit. Okay.
Yes, I suspect that's not all the story. Yes. Okay. Let me know what you find out.
I will. Me and Kirsty Reed will launch an investigation. Pickle is the sniffer dog and I don't know what she's going to sniff out. And I am chief superintendent on the case. And Kirsty's the special police officer.
Very special. Okay. I hope one of you has a giant magnifying glass because that's really important.
Thank you. Right. Let's talk about your features. What features are you going to do? What regular features are you going to do?
Regular. Are we doing this again? I was thinking of like a hall of fame and a hall of shame. Does that sound all right?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've come up with five features that you could choose from.
Oh.
Number one.
Well, hold on. I didn't say I wanted to hear them.
I don't give a shit. Number one. It's all about you. That's just you talking about yourself.
Oh, this
number
comes
two,
from the narcissist, right? Yeah, yeah, carry on. Yeah,
number two, haul or nothing. Haul or nothing, right?
Yeah,
you try and make
yeah.
us believe something like there's a climate crisis or meat is bad by repeatedly hammering us with information and then getting in a mood or we don't listen.
I like that, yeah,
yeah.
apart from the last bit.
Number two, I wish I was a little bit hauler. Number three, things that I'm doing to try and be like you and things that the listeners could do to be like you. So they could be like, I wish I was a little bit hauler. I wish I was a vegan. I wish I had a haircut that made me look
Bad
like the
haircut.
Mohican. Number four.
Like they had a ferret on the head. Yeah,
this
okay.
one's really
Yeah.
good. This one's really good. Damien's green bush. Listeners put
gets
their
a bit
hat.
matted.
Listeners put their hand in and have a rummage around.
Oh, gosh.
To see what they can find. I haven't finished this one yet.
You haven't finished laughing your own jokes yet.
The next one's good. The next one's just called Angry Rant Man. And that's just you speaking.
Okay.
Okay, Damien's recycled jokes home. Jokes I told you that you then say back to me pretending that they're yours.
Oh, gosh. Do you know what happened today? It's not a joke, but I think I had some messages that I got a mention on Radio 2 this morning for something that wasn't me, really.
All right, big dog.
Well, if you're being all like walking to, you know,
mate, I'm going on ITV lunchtime news today, so tune in, viewer. Oh, it's too late, but I am. After this, I'm going on ITV lunchtime news.
Why? As a look, what could happen to you if you mess your
don't
life
drink,
up?
Don't drink, kids. That's why.
Oh, yeah. When can I watch?
At lunchtime. I'm going down the studio. 2:15, they're filming me. I'm wearing my green runner's top.
Oh, damn. Now I can't be sort of... All right. Yeah.
You know what you
I
could
can't.
Do? You could nip down there as well, because it's in Bristol, and you could pretend to be a harmless fan of the sport, make me look more popular.
Harmless heckler of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like pretend I liked you, pretend I thought you were good and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
I think that might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll send you an emoji.
What about the jokes? What about the joke thing? Your recycled jokes home. Do you want to tell a joke or have you had enough? Enough.
Oh, that's very recycled. That's the third time you've told me that one.
Yeah, it's
well,
really
or
good,
I've heard. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's quite good. It's
okay,
quite good.
There's just two more. There's two more features. Can I just quickly tell you what they are?
That's a relief. Yeah.
One is called Flat Cat, and that's just Pickle's feature, and that involves her driving over your cats in my car. And the other, I'm filming it. And the other one is called Damo's Big Teas, and it's you tasting different teas from around the world.
Oh.
But making like sexy grunting noises as you drink them, if you like them, like sort of like John Kelly.
Okay. Oh gosh, I'm overwhelmed.
So those are my features. Oh, then I have one that I've just written all creatures great and hall, but I haven't gone any further with that one because I got bored, so I stopped.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty there.
Yeah,
I like the tease one. That there's some logistics involved. Although
you'd
I've
have
got
to get
several
your
friends.
You have to get your private jet out of the garage for that to fly around.
Oh,
the
it's
world.
Ready. It's on the runway. It's ready to go. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm fine with it. Yeah, all of them, probably.
Great.
I do. I. Yeah.
You
Yeah,
seem quite stumped by my genius.
Something like that, Ali. Something like that.
I think Hall of Blame, Hall of Fame would be the best one. So Hall of Fame, what's that about, Damien? Do enlighten us.
Well, it's like I put someone or something in the Hall of. But you see, they don't sound very good now.
I think they're great.
Those were quite good, Ali.
Yeah,
I think,
they
you
were,
know,
weren't they? Thank you.
They were quite good, yeah. I mean, generally, I'm not a fan of any of your work or anything you say, but that was quite good. I am a fan of you saying apparel.
Apparel. Apparel. Apparel. Apparel? Apparel.
Wow, gosh. Oh, well, yeah. Well, I just anything I can say is going to sound boring now. Well, that was the case anyway. Yeah, Hall of Fame was meant to be a sort of something good from the
What is good?
previous.
Tell
Well,
us something good.
I wanted to celebrate, the community.
That's nice. Yeah!
I was just reminded, when I did this thing with AJ, well, when quite a few of us did this thing with AJ, just reminded how kind and great people are and how they'll go out of their way to help people do something hard. It was wonderful to see.
Was it all
There is a
people that were
video.
his friends, or was it there with random people there as well?
Yeah, it's sort of yes and no. Yes, some people were close friends and knew him well, and then some people hardly knew him at all. So that's what's cool about it. Yeah, like a friend of a friend would chip in and run a whole load of section, and it's not, it's not easy.
And when you have,
So it was cool.
say you're arranging that, is there a super arranger in the middle who, like, everybody says, "Oh, come and run with him on this leg," and they just arrange it?
Well, it starts off with AJ doing it, and then, yeah, it was mostly AJ doing it, to be honest. Yeah, so it's quite a lot to do,
It's quite
but
stressful, isn't it?
yeah, but it was the chips thing, I think. Just that effort to go and find a chip shop, drive around, yeah, hike up under the hill with chips, trying to keep them warm. I mean, not putting vinegar on your chips. I mean, who does that?
I don't know.
But I thought it was just a great reminder of how people are great and kind and stuff. You look unimpressed,
No,
but
I'm not unimpressed.
and there isn't.
I'm genuinely like, that's very sweet, and it is very
And
sweet, and I do like it.
there isn't really a punchline.
Did he lose his shit
Is
at
it?
any point? I like it when people lose their shit. Did he start crying or tell everyone to fuck off?
Not really. I was very. He's a very relaxed character, AJ. He's a very relaxed character. Apparently, on the very final leg or two, there was less humour than some of the other legs. But generally, he was in great humour. Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was
What did
brill.
you do? What was your job?
I ran a lot of it, and then,
Did you?
yeah,
How much of a lot of it?
half of it. That's why I'm tired.
Half of
And
it. Did you run a whole round?
yeah, with a gap, I had a
Did
sleeper in
you?
between.
Oh, well done. I know that's not me being an asshole. I just like that. That's funny that you just don't mention the fact that you just did basically a round at the weekend. Whatever. Don't worry about it. Fine. I'll just talk about chips.
Well, that's why I'm tired and struggling for clever words and phrases, other than apparel. Yeah, it was just brilliant.
Apparel spritz.
It was
Well
just
done.
great seeing people chip in and give everything. So little things like, yeah, one of the crew points had Will had did I say he brought a disco ball and we put on some music. I threatened him with Radiohead at one point. He's more of a hip hop guy, but I
Is
said,
he?
I can play some Radiohead for you, and he seemed to get a bit of a spurt on.
I sent you a really good song the other day on Spotify, the cat song. Should have played that out loud. It was a very good song. It's a
I
cat
should
rap.
have perhaps. I don't know where he stands on the cat dog thing.
He looks like a dog guy to me from
No,
photos.
I doubt it. I mean, he broke a record. He's probably a cat person. But yeah, that's my Hall of Fame.
You know, when you do stuff like try and break records and things, back when you used to do that, do you
Thanks for
remember?
putting. Yeah.
Do you choose your people or do you wait for your people to come to you? So, like, if you were going to say you were going to do the Wainwrights again. Who's got the Pennine Way at the moment? We were talking about this the other day up on the hill.
Let's just move on.
Okay, so say you were going to go and do the Pennine Way again, right? Flog that dead horse. Did you would you choose your people? Would you let your people, if you said, Damon, can I come and pace you? Would you go, all right then? Or would you look at their Strava and be like, you're not very quick, you're not coming?
No, I mean, you start off with a sort of a list of people maybe have helped before or you think would be helpful, but then inevitably there are some gaps left, and you have to rely a bit on friends of friends or people getting in touch because they hear about it.
So let's say you're trying to break a record, right? And I said, I'll come and help you. And you were like,
Oh.
oh, fuck, because I'm not very fast, right? And whenever we go out, it's basically a walk for you. And you have to put things on your Strava, like helping a friend or like poor
Really,
beginner
really
runner.
easy run.
Yeah. Super easy,
Yeah.
almost dead run. What would you say if I was like, yeah, I'll come out and do it? Would you be like, Ali, what sort of conversation would it be like? It's such a putting someone on the spot question.
I'd say that'd be brilliant, Ali. Please come along. That would be amazing. But don't say anything.
And give me the wrong date. Because Kirsty's talking about doing some stuff, and I'm like, I can't because I'm not quick enough. Because I can't keep up with her going up a hill. I just can't. At the moment, I can't. Maybe one day. And I would never put myself in that situation. But I imagine some people would be, and I'm talking about men, would be like, yeah, all right, I'll come and help you. And they just would fucking hold you up. And it would be a nightmare.
The secret is, if you're concerned, you're not going to match the pace. You pick a much later leg, because I think 100% of the time, people slow on these things. So yeah, you pick later. You pick the final leg where they're hobbling along, and then you feel super fresh and superhero-ish.
And so, my other question, let's put you and Mark Derbyshire on a round. Who's going to be quickest? Who's
Mark.
Thank you, Ava. I like my favorite new game is who's going to win out of Mark Derbyshire and I'd like to actually do a whole TV show on this. I would love it.
Mark's an amazing athlete and amazing guy. I'd tell you a little story. As with any of my stories around anecdotes, it's boring and has no punchline. But we were running together at UTMB one time, and I was underfueled and I tripped and fell, and he insisted on waiting with me. So I was all right, and gave me a gel. And it took me a while because he's not really on the socials, and I didn't really know him very well at the time. And I tried to find him to say thank you, and it took me a year or two till I was in touch.
A year?
I guess it sounds like I didn't try that hard.
No, but I did. It's literally MJ Derbyshire on Instagram. It's simple as that.
This was before he was on Instagram. This is 2021, I think. Before he was famous.
Right.
Before anyone had heard of you.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
But when I did get it, he did point out it was a Morton gel, so not your cheapest gel.
Oh, what back in the day?
I was finally able to repay a gel this weekend, which was satisfying to me. So there you go. Like I said,
did you give him? Did you give him a high five, or did you give him a Morton?
It was a precision fuel and hydration caffeine gel.
Was it?
That was what we were debating. Is a Morton gel worth? Is two of those equal to a Morton gel? And I offered him three because in an interest payment as well, but he only took one. So
me and Holly
speaks again to his character.
Next week, me and Holly are going to talk about the spring gel conundrances, mumbrances.
Oh,
yeah, that's interesting,
oh,
isn't
gosh.
It?
You know, that's got relatively nasty. Have you heard the new chapter on that?
Oh,
there's
yeah,
been some American coaches, one of who's a
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Massive. Yeah.
It's the big beeps going on in there. But anyway, that's interesting. I find that all very interesting. You know what I'm into? The Precision Flow gels, the one in the massive packet with the lid.
Oh, yeah.
The 300 grams of carbs job. Oof. That's a tasty nugget. Love it. Right.
Yeah.
I've got some questions for you from the viewers. So you're not been able to put your Hall of Shame in today because we're going to run over.
What?
Actually, if you can do 5 minutes on Hall of Shame, you can have Hall of Shame. I think you should. I think it's important. What is in the Damien Hall of Shame? What does a Hall of Shame look like? Is it damp in there?
Mouldy.
Yeah.
It's full of dog hairs.
What? Sounds like my bed. No, bed's not mouldy, guys. It is full of dog hairs, though.
Is that on your Tinder profile?
Yeah. I imagine if I had a Tinder profile, it'd be absolute carnage. Go on, what's in the Hall of Shame?
So, oily races.
Ooh.
We're talking sports washing here, and we don't mean washing your apparel. Unfortunately, so sports washing is rampant in, well, sport.
What is sports washing?
Yes. So, when companies that we generally know are doing bad in the world want to distract us by putting their money into things that we think are good, like sport, then the idea is that they're distracting us from the bad they're doing. So an obvious one is actually Borussia Dortmund. The German team have just taken on a new sponsor, weapons manufacturer. That's not oily races relevant, but that is really controversial in Germany. and it's crazy. But in sport in general, there's well over 200 cases of sports washing where, so the Game Changer Sponsorship Pledge defines high carbon sponsors as airlines and airports, fossil fuels themselves, car manufacturers, and the banks that fund fossil fuels. So five things. And some of the worst examples, yeah, BP and Shell, for example, are sponsoring. BP sponsor British Cycling, which is terrible.
Isn't
so
that
they're
fucking
actually
weird?
Yeah.
Why is an oil company sponsoring something that's human powered? You could see if it was like motor racing. Why are they
well,
sponsoring
exactly,
cycling?
To distract us, to make them look good.
But
they
it's not even a distraction.
With...
Isn't every person on earth going, why are BP sponsoring cycling? Or is that just clever people like us?
Well, I feel like not enough people maybe are sort of upset and surprised by it. Because, yeah, Shell are obviously making the world much worse. And the obvious thing is air pollution. Cyclists, well, runners breathe in much more, yeah, more air and more deeply than a normal person. So they're breathing in this polluted air, which is a silent killer around the world. But yeah, the ones that so for ages there's been sports washing in football and cycling and golf, Formula One. However, we've only just been spotting it in running, really. The big example is UTMB and Dacia. But now, yeah, your favorite race, Arc of Attrition and UTS in Wales, they also have Dacia as a sponsor. They call it a partner. Premier partner, I think it is. So maybe they're trying to not use the word sponsor, but
what, like they're trying to use the word early bird, but not use the word early bird. Don't even fucking
dynamic,
start.
That was
Don't
a dynamic.
I've got a reply from UTMB that we'll be covering in the Bailey and Reid investigate section, which is fucking laughable. But continue.
Oh, excellent! Mm. Oh, excellent. But we've also noticed, yeah, there's the Royal Parks Half is sponsored by one of the worst banks, who we've had direct conversations with. There are other. We've basically put a list. There's a blog on the Green Runners website. We've put a list of races. So most of the big American marathons have high carbon sponsors. That's sports washing. And in Britain, it's just creeping in. It's creeping in. We found 30 races, basically, fairly prominent races. Some in Britain, some around Europe and America, which have sports washing sponsors. And we just, yeah, for us, it's not okay. Because those are the people fueling the climate crisis.
How do you tell if a race company is sports washing? Do you have to do loads of research?
Well, this is what we've found interesting. So we think it's reasonable that races of a certain size will require some vehicles to transport things around. And yeah, most of those races won't normally own enough vehicles. So they'll need to acquire, rent some vehicles or acquire some vehicles for an event. And that seems perfectly reasonable. The key thing is, And they'll often, I guess, negotiate a good price or try and get them for free. And that's, again, we're not against that. But what happens is that company want to, the car company, for example, want to use the race to show, hey, we're helping this race. They like health and adventure. Those are two things they really like. They like to be associated with health.
You're talking to someone that's trying to get a free car. So you're talking, like, I'm happy with that. As long as it's not Land Rover, I'm happy with it. I'm not really happy with it. But yes, I know what you mean.
Then what happens is, yeah, the logo goes on the race website, and it looks like. So we had a really interesting discussion with 13 Valleys, for example, because they had a BMW logo. And if anyone's really interested in this, there's a Greenpeace report. Do you do show notes and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I can send you a link to a Greenpeace report, which goes into detail of which are the worst car manufacturers, which ones are being better, and BMW. Yeah, well, they had their big logo on the 13 Valleys website. So we said, right, you have a sponsorship arrangement. It looks like you have a sponsorship or partnership arrangement with a high carbon sponsor. Now, mm-hmm. We had good conversations with them, and they said, actually, they're just a provider. So we think that's reasonable, a provider. But therefore, so there was no commercial arrangement. But therefore, I think it needs to be really clear on a website that it says, hopefully electrical vehicle provider, this company, even that, BMW or whoever is getting a big logo on the website, so they're getting and that's promoting the brand overall, not just their electrical vehicle that they provide. And the frustrating thing is, it's the classic sort of greenwashing thing where most of these companies, there's still over 90% producing ICE vehicles, which are dependent on fossil fuels, even though they know scientists are screaming we need to move away from fossil fuels, you know, as quickly as humanly possible, but these companies aren't. And we've had, I've had direct discussions with Dacia, and they say the same. They admit, fully admit to me that yes, they make an EV, but 90%, over 90% of their vehicles are ICE vehicles, including SUVs, which are just horrendous, and have opened, well, you got me started now. Was it called this Hall's Angry Ranting section, was it called?
I'll see you next week, Vio. I'm just going to leave you, Damien. Bye-bye. I'm off to the gym.
Anyway, so mostly, you know, most of these companies who make an EV, because they have to, because the regulations are coming in anyway, you know, still make SUVs, which are just horrendous. And then, yeah, and still over 90% ICE vehicles. So that's greenwashing. That's like Adidas making one trainer that has allegedly has plastic recycled from the ocean, where we found out that wasn't true. But all the rest of the trainers are still made in the same way they used to be, you know, unrecyclable, etc. Am I making sense, or am I just sounding like a little angry ranting man with a ferret on his head?
Can I ask a question, please? Or two questions?
Yes, please.
Electric vehicles, right? Aren't they a bit of a fucking pain in the ass with charging?
We've got one, and we ruddy love it, honestly.
Do they not go very far? I feel like they don't go very far. If we have to charge them, you have to wait ages. Literally, I'm asking a question. Because fucking know.
It depends. So the newer ones coming out have a range of like 300 miles and so. Ours is about 260, 280 miles. And it does depend how you drive it, and it does depend the temperatures outside. But honestly, it's delicious to drive. It's nice, really nice. But yeah, they won't be affordable to a lot of people yet. And also, yeah, they're not problem-free, of course, but they're about a third of emissions of an ICE vehicle over their lifetime. And you'll pay that back over about 30,000. Once you've done about 30,000 miles, you've sort of paid back the carbon. So and they're better, but they're not an ultimate solution.
And what's the nicest way? Because I don't like this calling out of people without having we've got a solution for you. I like a solution. I'm a solution person.
Are you?
So what for the general public, millions of people listening across the world, what's the best way for them to make sure that they are supporting races that don't do the greenwashing thing? Have you got a list of good races?
Well, we're working hard, or a very good friend of mine, a Green Runners co-founder, is working incredibly hard behind the scenes to try and, you know, with the main events, with the big events, to try and come up with a really good scheme. I can't say much more than that, but there's a lot of work has been going on, but it needs to be, you know, it needs to be good. It needs to be good. It can't just be some, it needs to be good. It needs to be done properly. So it is taking some time, but I'm certain there will be a scheme. A really credible scheme will come out, which will make it clear to people which races are doing good things.
Do you think that James Elson is greenwashing Centurion races?
Yeah, he's appalling.
He's awful,
isn't
he?
He's just appalling.
Okay. He keeps chickens hostage in his garden.
Oh, God.
Like five or six of them. Oh, he killed one of them with his own hands. Dispatched
him. Oh, I listened to that. That was appalling. You should investigate him.
We will. Don't you worry. Yeah. He's under investigation. He doesn't even know. It's like a quiet investigation. You'll never find out. Can I ask one more question, please?
Of course.
Mr. Hall. Why is it that with people that are climate activists, people that are interested in the environment, people that try and do their bit, right? And I'll say this pointing at myself. I do try and do my bit the best I possibly can, but I am fucking 20% okay, 80% naughty, but bad for the environment. But I really do try, and it does come into my head a lot, and I really am working towards being better. Why is it with the green stuff, and even with the plant-based stuff, that people always fucking try and call you out for your own behaviour, even when you're trying to do good? So you know how you get trolls being like, but you're doing this. It's like, why is it that it's the only area of debate where people are assholes when you're trying to do something good? Do you know why?
There's a thing called, it's called whataboutery. And it's quite common. It's talked about a lot in activism circles, and scientists talk about it as well. It's been studied. And it's almost like it's excusing yourself from doing anything by pointing out an inconsistency somewhere else. And it's a commonly known act. Yeah, so people who want to point out inconsistencies. So yeah, I'm ranting and raving about organizations. I'm not ranting and raving, and I'm not pointing fingers at people, at individuals, because individuals didn't cause this problem. And it's a global crisis. Like, you know, if anyone's, you know, doesn't, so, I mean, the rain we've had in Britain over the winter is just incredible. And we know now there was a study that said it was 10 times, I think it was 10 times more likely because of, yeah, the heating planet. And for people, who, if anyone missed the floods in Brazil recently, they're just staggering. There's record heat in India at the moment and other parts of the Middle East. This is a, you know, a genuine urgent global crisis. Our lives are going to get worse, basically. A risk of doom.
Jesus fucking
There's going to be food. Yeah, there are food problems in the UK. Like, if anyone's listening to any farmers listening can verify they've had a terrible time because of all the rain. Any trail runners listening can verify they've had a terrible time because of all the muddy trails.
We've just had the warmest May on record, though, according to scientists in the UK. But it's been raining the whole time. Warm and wet. Lovely.
There you go. Just how we all like it, right? Mm. Matron. Where were we? What was the question? Yeah, so, yeah, there's a thing called whataboutery. It's not a, yeah, individuals didn't cause this. Individual actions won't get us out of this, although they are still valid for various reasons. But really, we've got to stick fingers at governments and big organisations and, yeah, high-carbon companies, people who are sports washing. They're the enemy. And they make me absolutely livid because they're making the planet worse for my children and anyone and Pickle and anyone's children. Who
don't you fucking look at me, tell me Pickle's a child. I always say this to people, not had children. So my carbon footprint will always be less than yours.
Oh, that's whataboutery, that is.
I know, that's why I said it, just to piss you off. Dog though, and she eats dead chickens. So there you go.
Oh, gosh.
Right. So next month, we're going to be talking about things that we can do that are cheerful, happy, make things better, try and make things a bit better. Yes?
Probably not.
Yes. No, because we need to make it fun or no one's going to do it. That's what we have to do. We need to make it fun. No one's
but
gonna
I
do
want
it.
To be angry and doom-mongering and finger-pointy, not at individuals. I want to do that. Can I do a bit of that as well? Just a little
you
bit?
You can do a little bit,
corner,
but then, you know how Tom York is like, okay, let's think about Matt Berninger. You know Matt from The National?
Absolutely. Yeah,
you love him, don't you?
Sort of do.
Yeah. Now, he's a miserable bastard, right, and writes really sad songs. But then when you actually see him in interviews, he's quite funny.
Oh, not like me, though.
Be like Matt.
Yeah. Oh, try to be funny.
Be like Tom York.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple of questions for you from the listeners. From the viewers.
More questions. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, the viewers. I like
these.
The viewers.
These are quick, though. These are going to be quick fire. Quick fire. Fire, as Pickle say. Right, ready?
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
Numero one, which is French for number one. This is a quick one. This is from Alia Pike. She says, greeting wise ones. She's talking about me. I'd be interested to hear about when to walk and when to run on the hilly trails. I was running in Devon when I was listening to the podcast and you asked for questions for Damien. It was hilly on the cliffs in Devon. And I started to thinking emoji, when does Damien walk up hills? How is that decision made? What influences it? And do you start again as soon as you get to the top of the hill? Many thanks, Alia. I think that's quite a good question because in my head, you run up all the hills.
No, absolutely not. When I first came to the sport, the first time I thought I had any sort of advantage or stronger aspect, if you think of the sport as like there are four movement patterns in a way, there's moving on the flat, moving downhill, hiking uphill and running uphill. There's kind of four main movement patterns. And probably the other one is, yeah, shoving stuff in your mouth, which is an important one to practice. yeah, running uphill is probably my weakest thing and hiking uphill is possibly or was possibly my strongest. And there was actually a study on this, and laughably the conclusion was whenever an individual feels is right to hike or run is probably the right time to hike or run for them. So I would say, yeah, consider how your muscles feel. If you're running uphill, consider, yeah, are your calves feeling overpowered? Is lactate building in your quads? Are you sweating or breathing too hard? And consider how much further there is. If there's 70 miles to go, yeah, just chill a bit and hike. But I would say call it a power hike, not a walk. So a power hike is, you know, hiking with intent, with purpose. I do like poles. I think, yeah, again, they're proven in studies to be helpful at poking the people behind you in the face.
I do a whole thing on pole etiquette when I do pole workshops because of that. Pole etiquette.
Any like tips people... then for making sure you get them in the eye?
No, like you should always have the spike pointing forward and point them towards the sky when you're running. Because if you trip and they're pointing towards the earth, you will dig in and break your wrist. Because they're pointing towards the sky, you can throw them. But if you've got spikes behind you and you throw them, you could impale someone. It's all important stuff, Damien.
What if you're trying to impale them? John Kelly did something very hilarious with his poles on the Barclay Marathons. Afterwards, someone said, "Good job. You don't want any more children, do you? Because that's not very likely now."
So
Does
what, who
that
did he
paint a
do
good
it
enough
to
picture?
you?
No, he did it to himself accidentally. Let's just say the poles jammed into the ground ahead of him.
Oh, did he
Let's just
do
say.
that?
Have I
Oh,
made
I
it
can
clear
see.
enough
Can
what
actually,
happened?
yeah. Can you draw me a picture, please? Then we'll put it in the show notes.
Steep downhill.
Could
Steep
you?
downhill. Yeah,
Can
poles
you
stuck in the
recreate
ground.
it in your garden in a video and send it to me? I'll put it on Instagram.
Probably not.
That's also. Can you just explain to me the notion of the naughty hike? Because I think the naughty hike came from you.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah, it's that slope that you sort of know you could run, but yeah, hiking it. Yeah, that is allowed sometimes. And here's another truth is that, like, in 100 miles, say, in the first 10 miles, you might run some stuff that you're not going to run in the last 10 miles. And that's okay. That's okay. So I
Yeah,
think the
like
thing
if
to
you
put in your head.
think about the spine, this winter spine, this year, last
No, I
year,
don't want to
this
think about
year.
that one.
Yeah,
No,
think
the
about
year
that,
before was
right?
better.
Alia, I was watching that and I was like, those guys are being dicks. And they all of them in their little train of fucking testosterone running up things they shouldn't have been running up. I was like, you pricks.
It was fun though.
It did look good as well. It looked good.
That was the main thing.
Oh, that probably hasn't
Where
answered your
was I?
question.
Well, I think the overall thing is to think, am I moving in the most efficient, sustainable way for me? Ask yourself that. There you go. What are
Okay.
you laughing at?
Because I just am lazy. I'm lazy. I'm a lazy bastard. Right. Naomi C. She sounds like one of the shaman. She says, Dear
She's
Uncle
Iceman.
Damo. Oh, yeah.
Nice
Dear
start.
Uncle
Thank you.
Damo. I love trail running, she says. It goes without saying, otherwise, I wouldn't listen to the pod. Well, we don't talk a lot about running, but anyway. However, I live in suburbia, and to get to the trails, it's at least a 15-minute drive. I'm a working mum, so I don't have time to wait for public transport. Or an hour-long drive to get some decent hills. Is it okay to carry on doing this? I do share lifts when possible, but that's not often. And then she does this whole thing where she's like, it's okay because I'm a good person. I eat mainly vegan. I've only flown once in 5 years and I say no to the race t-shirt. So what do you think about training, driving to train? I'm just interested. I think that as long as you're driving, seeing as you haven't asked my opinion, as long as the run is twice the length of the
Do you want to
drive,
recut this?
you're okay. That's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, I again personally I'm not gonna point fingers at individuals and like I think yeah, I mean your flying record is amazing. So you've got to if you do want to think about your own footprint, yeah, think of the bigger context of if you haven't flown if you've flown once in 5 years, Mel C, then you know that's brilliant. That your footprint is probably lower than most people's. So I don't think that's horrendous. I mean, in an ideal scenario, like, could you, yeah, is there a friend, you know, could you share a drive? But yeah, sometimes, I mean, I did drive to Wales and back on my own to support AJ. I did ask one or two people if we could share, but it wasn't going to work out. Sometimes it's just the most practical thing. And if, you know, trail running is indisputably brilliant, despite what Ali says. And,
Trail running.
if it keeps you happy and healthy, then that is great and should be kept going. So I don't think you should feel too bad about that at
Maybe we
all.
should all make just some bigger choices about the way that we generally consume our electricity in our cars and everything else,
Well,
instead of
that's the
worrying
thing. The
about
bigger,
driving to a trail run.
yeah. So there's almost a line between individual actions and collective actions or nudging for system change. And so if that person, like, I don't care, I almost don't care what people do with their individual footprints. If they vote for, you know, the greener parties, who are more likely to get in, or if they, you know, hassle their MP occasionally, or like you say, make a point of a race that maybe all the t-shirts aren't needed, or could the race do more about travel and so on. Yeah, doing those bigger picture things, I don't care about someone's sort of individual footprint mostly, apart from, you know, the sort of the people with the private jets, although I'm
That,
allowed
yeah, I
one,
was about
that's
to
fine.
say, that's why you fucking
Yeah,
have a
yeah,
private chair.
yeah.
Okay, well done, everybody. Okay, thank you, Damien. That was actually quite good, apart from the angry, ranty man bit, but. can't help that. It was always going to
When's
happen.
Anna back? What's her date?
June.
What kind of friend are you?
12th of June. 26th of June.
Do you think she's going to listen? Because I heard she was like, she doesn't know whether she'll listen.
She is going to
listen. Anna, can I just apologise for everything I've said?
She's worried about me getting us into some trouble with the police, but then I am the law because I'm on the investigations team, so it's all right.
You've got your big magnifying glass.
What are you doing?
Your big plate, Alan.
What are you doing for
Anna,
the next
I'm just
few
sorry.
Weeks?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything Ali made me do. I'm just sorry about it, all of it. I'm sorry.
It's not the first time a man said that. What are you doing for the next few weeks? Are you training for something exciting?
Oh, I'll just be flying up and down the country. No, I've got nothing really till Tour de Gion in September. So chilling a bit. It's been, recovering from AJ's brutal bimble and just chilling a bit before sort of training picks up for Tour de Gion. Going to see, I wish I'd bought a ticket now, but I'm going to Bristol tonight to see some sort of washed up life coach.
Freak show.
Person.
There's a freak show in Bristol.
failed author who says running won't save us.
Sold out. So.
Wasn't when I.
No, it wasn't, was it? But it is now.
I tried to give my ticket back.
You could probably get some good money for that, actually, on the black market, on the dark web. Probably Holly not. And Pete are coming as well. So you lot can all sit in the fucking good people
seats. Heckling seats.
Heckling seats. Great, mate.
What about you?
Me, I'm going to do the easy spine, aren't I? Parkrun spine.
Yeah, we haven't really discussed. Hold on. So what are you like when tapering?
I'm much better now because I actually appreciate it because I've been beasted for 8 weeks, 12 weeks. So I actually appreciate it now. I'm really fucking worried about being hungry. Like, so worried about being hungry because I'm used to having a crew giving me food all the time. And there's just, like, I'm having that brain, like, that brain thing, like, the brain clash of I need to get to Gargrave when Co-op's open. It's very important. If I get to Gargrave and Co-op's not open, there's going to be a fucking problem.
What will you be buying there?
Costa coffee. Oh, yeah, crappy coffee. Probably some sort of slice of pastry with cheese in it. A sandwich, like a cheese sandwich. Pocket of crisps that's not smashed up in my bag, a milkshake, a whole pint of, I know you won't agree with this, full fat proper cow milk. Ooh, get it down, yeah. Maybe an ice cream, that sort of thing. Like a whole meal of food, a big food.
Wow.
Yeah. And so somebody on the spine group has put all of the cafes, all of the pubs, all of the opening times. So I'm going to map that out. So I'm like, if I do accidentally get into Gargrave at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's okay. Everything's okay. I'm so worried about being hungry. I've even thought about going and burying Jimmy's iced coffees. Like, you know that bothy, the one, the Wuthering Heights bothy? If you put yourself a little jet boil in there, hide it in there, perfect. Make yourself a little beans on toast. I've even thought about doing that. But that's cheating, so I wouldn't do that.
Because you'd get Bailey and Reed Investigates on your back, and one wants that.
I nearly said the thin blue line, but I meant Line of Duty. They're two very different programs. But it would be like Line of Duty. I'd have to investigate myself. I'd be H. And you didn't watch the thin blue line, did you? No, Line of Duty.
What's the other one? Yeah, what's the other one?
That's good, doesn't it?
Who's the angry Irishman?
He wasn't H. Hastings, Detective Hastings, Chief Superintendent
That's
Hastings.
It. Yeah.
I wish he was my dad. Putting that out, manifesting that. So that's what I'm doing. Mate.
Wow. If only I knew something about the Pennine Way, I'd give you some advice, but yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me. Never really been near it. So good luck. Bye.
Thank you. All right, then. Thank you so much for your help. I'll speak to you in a few weeks then. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.